afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.
All right. 18 minutes away from 4 o'clock, Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Coming at you from the studios here in downtown Elyria. Having some fun here on a Wednesday. It's cold out there. Well, the sun's trying to peek out and warm things up just a little bit. And this is the second week in a row that we've had to push our weekly meeting with Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram back a day. But Dave's here in studio with us. Dave, of course, makes his weekly appearances thanks to our good friends at Vandermark Jewelers. Make sure you stop by right across from the hospital on Broad Street here in Elyria, and you see Jim and Bob Vandermark and the entire gang down there, because there's always a special occasion. And even if you just want to surprise that significant other of yours with a nice piece of jewelry, well, the first place you should stop is Vandermark Jewelers, because they'll have all kinds of things for you to choose from to pull off a terrific surprise. Dave, it's no surprise to have you here in studio, my friend. How are you?
Hope it's not a surprise. You were expecting me.
So. Yeah, we planned this. Next week, we'll get back to our regularly scheduled Tuesday meetings. But today, we have you here in studio to talk about a wide variety of different topics. As usual, you were really busy. A lot of things to talk about over the course of the last week. And I think the first thing we can start with here, the Public Utilities Office, they're now using more customer-friendly hours. And I'm sure there are a lot of people listening out there thinking, you know what, we wish a lot of other aspects of our lives were covered like this with these new customer-friendly hours. So what prompted this?
This was prompted in discussions with between staff and officials, staff and supervisors, who decided that staff need a little more time on Wednesdays to do some training. So at noon on Wednesdays, the office, the Public Utilities Office, is gonna shut down for some hours of training. Phones will still be on. The biggest part of it, though, I guess, if you'll forgive me for bearing the lead, is that they will be open later on Mondays. Mondays are busy days at City Hall for those first floor, not just for the first floor windows there to pay your bills, but also it's City Council day. It is City Council Committees day. You have yoga classes every once in a while, out there in the hallways, and people just kind of, being around City Hall for the business of the first day of the week. So they extended the hours to about 6 o'clock on Mondays. And then also on Fridays, the office is going to be open earlier, so 7:30. And then the rest of the week is regular business hours until 4:30. And again, the phones will be on until 4:30 every day. Somebody will answer. But Safety Service Director Mary Sawerka told me that it was discussions between the staff and that they wanted to do something that was a little more friendly to people who might not be able to get there during the day on Monday, but might come, I'm going to go to the council meeting or I'm going to go to the committee meeting and stop in and pay their bills. Or also, beforehand, on payday, if your bills are due, stop in a little bit before, the morning you get paid and get that taken care of, so you don't have to stand in line, on Friday afternoon as all of us have probably done at the post office or some other place like that, or the bank,
We've all been there, man. No question about that. We've all been there. And I think it's interesting, too, just taking a look at these stories that you put together throughout the course of the last week, a lot of them very positive, and one of them extraordinarily positive. And I know this is something that we talked about a couple of weeks ago as far as St. Mary's School. And at the time we talked, we weren't quite sure if they were going to remain open, but obviously great news. They are going to remain open. How was this made possible?
Yes, great news for folks at St. Mary. Great news for the kids, for the teachers, for anybody who's been there, alums, everybody on down the line who's had something to do with that with an Elyria institution. I didn't even know until I wrote the original story, as I think we discussed, 160 years of history right there. And through an enrollment drive, through tours, running an open house, and then the story in the paper, not to toot my own horn, not to give myself too much credit, or the paper even for writing that, but we heard about it, we reported that, and thankfully St. Mary will be open again next year. They needed 100. They needed 19 more students, and they got that, and then went over that by another 12. So, as of the writing of that story, there are 142 students enrolled for next year at St. Mary's School. Obviously, that and St. Jude, a feeder for Elyria Catholic. A lot of alumni who have done very well for themselves. Who have gone from being, you know, the cute kids out on the playground, you know, tossing the ball around and all that, you know, and having mass and doing the, you know, community service, to well-rounded adults. So it's a nice happy story for Elyria that people came together and said, you know, I think my kids might benefit, and so that's a good thing. And Principal Sharon Urich was very thankful to the community. Everybody else who came out and supported the school in a time of need, and we'll see where it goes from here.
Good stuff. Again, Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Dave's appearance is brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Boy, the good, fun news keeps coming. We're 4 days away now from the official launching of this year's annual Harvest for Hunger Drive. It launches on March the 10th. Always an interesting time of the year, always a fun time of the year for this because, you know, you and I were talking before we came on the year about something entirely different, which is out there, and it's something I know you're going to detail tomorrow with Bill Harper of the United Way of Greater Lorain County stepping down. He's retiring after, well, over four decades of doing social work.
Four decades of service.
And we'll come back around to that in a minute. But, I mean, you had mentioned, you know, look, that's the kind of thing that you have to do because you just love people, and you get into the annual Harvest for Hunger Drive for the same reasons, because you love people and you really certainly love to help out those who are in need.
Yeah, and this year's choice for honorary chairperson for this food and funds drive, as they say, which the goal this year is 1.25 million meals.
Wow.
Now, if the community comes together, if I step aside from the honorary chairman, who is Dr. Marsha Ballinger, the president of Lorain County Community College, they're looking for $250,000 would get you about to 1.25 million meals, because every dollar that they raise is about five meals provided for those in need and those who are hungry in Lorain County. Second Harvest Food Bank in North Central Ohio, which is out there on Baumhart Road across from the old Ford plant in Lorain. Was the location for kickoff party yesterday, which was a lot of fun. A little Jeopardy game going on about how much how much food is raised by this and that and how much they need, and a lot of volunteers, a lot of folks in the community, for previous chairpersons. Dr. Ballinger said, you know, look, we care about not just our students, some of whom reported coming to campus hungry. In a survey they did. So now they have the Commodore Cupboard out there, which I don't know if you've ever covered that in the past, but they provide food to needy families and to needy students and those who are hungry or coming to campus and saying, hey, you know, I had to pay rent and I had tuition and I had all my other bills and I just need a little help, you know. And they've served thousands of students and those students' families as well. I mean, it's not just the students who are coming in and saying, oh, all I have is a granola bar for the day. It's their families as well, because they have, about a third of the people they serve out there have children. And they have a lot of first time clients who come in and have some needs, some food insecurity, as they say. So Dr. Ballinger knows the struggle. And she talked about it at length. And Julie Chase Moorfield, who's a real hunger warrior for the people out there. She is she's the present CEO of Second Harvest out here, and she was saying, you know, that the need is great all the time, and so this is the drive. They're encouraging businesses, groups, individuals. You know, your softball team. Not softball season yet, but
close.
Your sport. Yeah, it's coming up. It's coming up. Elyria Parks and Rec has a softball league. Go sign up. But your groups, your offices, do penny wars, have a dress down day, you know, and wear jeans, donation jars for clients and customers and businesses, schools, get involved, you know, that kind of thing. Raise money for a good cause. Make sure that all your neighbors and friends and peers and fellow students and anybody else in the community that might be struggling a little bit, that they can have a good, healthy meal. Hey, support Second Harvest and the Harvest for Hunger, and hopefully they'll reach that 1.25 million meals.
Well, support and assistance, speaking of which, were both on display when we had those gigantic windstorms about 10 days ago. And there were four city employees in particular who were lauded for their actions during those windstorms for helping out fellow citizens.
Absolutely. And super thumbs up. And I made sure to get their names here printed out. So I got it right to Purvi Smallwood and Robert Nation. Also to Angie Dukes, Dana Horner, all four city employees helped two women who had fallen and one of whom had injured herself slightly back on February 1st during that real nasty weekend that we had, that cold snap. And they were out just doing their normal duties, you know, picking up trash and clearing snow and everything. And these two ladies had slipped and fallen. So after getting them up and making sure they were okay, they went on about their duties and made sure everybody, you know, that everybody got the treatment that they needed. Kudos to them. Thumbs up.
Absolutely.
Thumbs up. And that's a service that you don't pay for. I mean, that's city employees going as their boss, as safety service director Sorwerka said, you know, going above and beyond. So they all got certificates of appreciation and a nice little few of them were at city council, got a nice little round of applause. So it's good to see that, you know, that's not just your tax dollars at work. That's neighbors helping neighbors.
Yep. Hey, look, good deeds are still done out there. There's no question about that. We may not hear about them as often. That's why I wanted to bring it up, because good deeds are most definitely done, and we should certainly hear more about it. All right, my friend, before we get into our scanner stories, I know you're working on a couple of big stories for later on this week and into next week. What do you have for us?
So we got a really interesting partnership coming up, and you can read more in tomorrow's Chronicle about Lorain County Community College and Cleveland State University. Improving on their university partnership agreement. Basically, you're going to be able to go to Lorain County Community College and also at the same time basically be enrolled at Cleveland State, which is the largest, you know, Lorain County Community College, I think, has provided over the last, I want to say over the last 20 years, you know, several hundred, you know, students to Cleveland State, you know, who have gone on to get degrees there. You know, LC is a major feeder for Cleveland State, which is really good and a little bit different. You know, out here it's a little more, you know, obviously Elyria City, but a little more of a rural feel and plenty of room to expand out there on the campus up on North Abbey Road. But going to Cleveland State, it's more of an urban environment. I mean, you can drive down to any of the games or, you know, or going to an event, and you can see their buildings out there and you know, real an urban campus tucked right there in Cleveland. So they're going to provide LC students with CSU IDs that they can use in the computer labs and that they can use in the, you know, in the recreation facilities and for special events. You can also take up to a certain number of classes at LC that give you credit at Cleveland State. So that's one that's coming up. We'll have a little bit more about Bill Harper. Great guy. You know, he was really seems like he cares. And we'll have more about that in tomorrow's Chronicle. And yeah, so that's some of the other stuff we're working on, and a couple little traffic items that I won't give away right now. But traffic always plays well, and always gets a lot of reads, and people really care about how they get from one place to another. So we're working on an interesting traffic story for you folks.
Good stuff. Certainly looking forward to that in the coming days. And we can't wrap up without talking about some scanner stories, my man. What do you have for us this week?
All right. Well, from my friend Holly Zachariah down at the Columbus Dispatch, she had one the other day on March 2nd. Heard a call over the scanner where the officer said, and I quote, "Just circulate and look for the guy with the purple hair," which I thought was a pretty fantastic one. And although not so much a scanner story, but kind of weird news. The Florida man who threw Molotov cocktails at his own vehicle after it was impounded by the police. If you go on Twitter, especially, or sometimes on Facebook, and you can just search the hashtag Florida man, who is kind of a ne'er-do-well superhero of his own, who the headlines always say Florida man XYZ, you know, bitten by an alligator, or the guy, the gentleman who was at the airport in Pennsylvania with a deactivated rocket launcher in his carry-on luggage, not packed. And fortunately, the grenade at the end was a that was loaded into it was a replica, a dud. Probably not something you want to cart onto the plane. Reports were that he didn't see what the commotion was about.
Yikes. Well, that's what makes scanner stories so interesting. Always wildly entertaining stuff. Dave, always wildly entertaining with you as well, my friend.
Thanks
as always for coming on. We appreciate the time. We'll have you on again next Tuesday.
Good being here. Looking forward to it.
Awesome, Dave. Thank you very much. Again, that's Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us on the local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Stop by and see Jim and Bob Vandermark right across from the hospital here on Broad Street in downtown Elyria. Vandermark Jewelers is a trusted name in jewelry.